Lord, as I said, sometimes when the Lord is speaking, the most important thing you got to discern when the Lord is speaking to you personally, as a preacher, or when the Lord is speaking to the congregation. Amen. You have to discern when the Lord is speaking to you as a preacher and as a saved individual, and when the Lord is speaking a word for you to give to the congregation. So when I studied all week, Lord, let me know it was for me. Amen. But I still think it. I think it. You know, I would have loved to talk when we studied what I studied since Monday. You know, something just, Lord put something in my spirit. Amen. And I was studying it. Then this morning, as I was here making final preparations, I realized that it was for me. And it was for you all. Alright, so don't try to beat the history of my mind to find out. Amen. The scripture I will use is one scripture that the Lord says, you know, and it was actually out of Ephesians chapter 1. It says, and he's writing to the church. Ephesians is written to who? The church. He says that the eyes of your understanding may be enlightened. Who is he writing to? The church. Yes. Amen. I said, wow, yeah, that's a good message. That you may know what is the hope of his calling in us. Right? And what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who will believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. What is the more? And I say, you know what? It was so good. I learned from 15 all the way to the end. I said, yes, that would be good. Then this morning, the Lord said, okay, that ain't for you. Damn, that's for you. But isn't it amazing how we can be saved and we still have to have our eyes of our understanding and light? He's not right to the unsaved, he's right to the saved. To the saved. Amen. Our eyes need to be open because we never arrive to the place in Christ. I don't care what your status is when you know all about God. Amen. But let me go back to Romans, the 8th chapter. That was just a teaser to let you know what the Lord told me. Amen. And he didn't tell me, for you. He told me for me. So that's important to be able to discern. But Romans, the 8th chapter, and I'm just going to hit this here a little bit. In verse 4 it says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the spirit. So you can be saved. You can either walk in the flesh, or you can walk in the spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the spirit, the things of the spirit. For to be, that's the flesh. To be carnally minded is, every time you get in the flesh, it's taking you to hell. It's trying to kill. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Somebody said, I don't have no peace. I don't even have hope. Where is your mind? The spiritual mind has life and peace. Hallelujah. If you don't have no peace, then the question is, how are you walking? If you don't have peace of mind, the question is, how are you walking? Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Then Galatians says, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So our message that we want to deal with today is the battlefield of the mind. The message that we want to deal with today is the battlefield of the mind. Amen. So we see that Paul is saying there's a constant war. Peter said when God saves us, he saves us through the So God cleanses our mind, but not our flesh. You understand that? So when we get saved, every appetite we ever had in our flesh is still there. It still seeks expression. It seeks to fight against God. And the only way that that flesh doesn't have expression is you have to stay in Christ. You have to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. So a lot of times people are under the misconception that when I get saved, everything's going to be easy. Absolutely not. Not. When you get saved, that's when the real battle begins. Come on. Listen, when you get saved, that's the real battle when it starts. Because the Spirit is trying to renew you and align you with God's will, and the flesh doesn't want to get in. So you fight your battle. Amen. And you say, I thought getting saved was going to be easy. It is easy. But it has to be made up in your mind. So when we get saved, we have a new mind, and that mind should be a godly mind.
Amen.
Which should have a different nature. Can we say praise the Lord? Now, Proverbs 23:7, Solomon says that as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So many times we try and say, well, why do I do the things I do? Why do I say the things I say? Why do I act like I act? The question is, are you walking in the flesh? Are you walking in the Spirit? The battle rages. The devil is trying, not only the devil, is trying to bring you down. And how many know God is trying to bring us up? So if any relation, there's a constant battle. There's a constant war. There's a constant fight. And the old Indian proverb says, well, there's two dogs fighting in me. Which dog wins? And the answer is, the dog you feed the most. Well, so in our spiritual walk, there's a battle. The battle is raging. Don't think for one minute your flesh is going to quit and give up. Now, just to let you know, you have to train yourself to be spiritual. Because our natural thing to do is to be carnal. So you have to train yourself to be spiritual. It doesn't something that you just give, that's given to you. Let's go to Romans, the 12th chapter and the 7th verse. Now, our purpose, I'm not going to preach this, I'm going to teach this.
Amen.
You know why? Because too many of us are losing battles. And the battle is lost in our
minds.
So we come to church, we shout, we sing, we praise the Lord, but we leave church with the same mind that we had before we came in. There has to be a renewal. There has to be a change. We have to tell God, I want to change. There's a difference, as whole Romans 12 too, there's a difference between a habit of prayer and a habit of praying with a desire. There's a difference between a habit of praying and a habit of praying with a desire to pray. A habit of praying is, well, I know this is what I'm supposed to do, so I will do it. That's just a habit. A habit of praying is, I know this is what I want to do, and most of all, So I have a desire to pray. I don't
So you have this battle, whether you're saved or whether you are unsaved. Well, how do I win the battle? You have to submit yourselves to God. Well, how do I submit? Your mind has to be changed. When you're in church, you can't have the same mind, the same way of thinking, the same way of acting you had before you got saved. Because when you man in Christ, he is a new creature. New creature means God has recreated you. Well, how did he recreate us? Through his Spirit. Let's go to Ephesians, the fourth chapter. So today, the battle is in the mind. You don't have to be saved to have the battle. Now, there is a script in the Bible that tells you what happens when you don't submit to God. We become hard through sin. Sin hardens us. Right? The first time you did something wrong, think of it. The first time you did something wrong, it bothered you, it disturbed you, it angered you, and you were mad at yourself. But those sins, the more you do it, the easier it gets to do it. So sin hardens you. Sin takes you away from God. Disobedience takes you away from God. Then when everything comes crumbling down, you ask God, what's wrong? The problem is you're feeding the wrong one. Your battle is in your mind, but you're not yielding to God. And the thing about God is this, the Bible says the heaven of the heaven cannot contain God. So wherever you think you are hiding and sneaking and diving, God sees you wherever you are. So you lose your balance and go again. Why? Because you fail to feed the spiritual man. I just choose to say, Lord, I'm an open book before you. You might as well say sin because you're an open book anyway. God sees you. And the Bible says he even knows your thoughts afar off. He knows that word before it's even formed in your tongue. God already knows you. So you might as well to submit to God and just let God have his way. Ephesians 4 and 22. Amen. Do we have this? So we're trying to win the battle is where? The battle's in the mind. It is a battlefield. It's not an easy battlefield, but how many was a constant? The devil is constantly trying to tell you that you need to quit on God and that you need to give up. But I just came to tell you that you can make it.
Yeah.
I came to tell you you can win this battle. But you've got to feed the spiritual man. Yes, the flesh is fighting. Yes, the flesh is trying to get you to give up. Hallelujah. But I heard Jesus say, the first and great commandment is you want to love. But if you're not, then your heart is not made up. You won't make the right decisions. Amen? So now Ephesians 4, 22 reads this way. Now we're trying to do what? Have our minds renewed. We need to have our minds changed. 4, 22 says that you put off concerning the conversation, the what? The old man. That's the man that you had before you went down in the water. I went down in the water, and when I came up, we should be the same. Because if any man in Christ is a new creature, the question is, if you're saved, you need to ask yourself this question. How can I act after I got baptized the same way I acted before? How can I talk after I got saved the same way I talked before I got saved? How can I dress the same way after I got saved?
We need the purpose in our heart.
the World Mail magazines and all the other magazines, the Victoria, this and that, that stuff is not taking you to God. That stuff is taking you away from God. So when you dress, oh, I just don't want to be old fashioned, I'd rather be old fashioned on my way to heaven than a new person than on my way to heaven. Because the old man should have died in the water. You should see the Savior before you got saved to him. That's old folk. You understand? Don't forfeit your eternity trying to please man. Paul said, if I choose to please man, then I'm not a servant of Christ. Galatians 1:10. So I just choose to please God. So the battle's in the mind. Every day you wake up, the battle's already in the mind. When you decide what you're going to put all the battles in the mind. Now I don't rest with the all the news. But I do bless the Lord my God. That's my desire. I honor God. So whatever the world is doing, I intentionally go the opposite way. You understand? Women be different. Just because they paint themselves up and look a certain way, you don't have to look like that. Your beauty is from the
inside.
Peter said, Timothy said, let it be the hidden man of that which glorifies God. Who are we trying to paint? It's a battle. The way you dress is a battle. The way you look is a battle. The way you talk is a battle. Well, who's winning the battle? If you dress to please God, talk and walk to please God, God's winning. God forbid. Now, this is first. How many know salvation is first? I can't do it for you and you can't do it, but you can do it for yourself. So, when they look at me in the world, do I wrong thing? I be dressed out of bad sometimes. Hold on, I'm supposed to be dressed. I be dressed out of bad sometimes, but somebody said, they still say you must be a preacher. You know why? Because I don't, even though I be dressed in whoever these new dangle fangled people are, I still dress to please God. So because I'm pleasing God, even though I don't have the latest styles, then I don't care about styles. My only style of counts is the style of peace God. It's a battle. Every day you wake up, when you walk out the door, when you walk down the street, if your man and the bus window look at you, you're going to say, am I dressed? Am I walking and talking to peace God? Amen? Amen. I know y'all might not like this. I'm just trying to get rid of the old man.
Come on.
Because there's lust in me. Amen? So if I'm a man and I'm walking and everybody looks at me, I'm like, Not saying I'm eccentric. There's a difference between eccentric. But if I'm walking in such a way so I won't get somebody's attention, that ain't God. You know what? Women, the only one if you're married should be looking at you and lusting, should be your husband. If it's too tight, loosen it up. Y'all understand? Seriously. I told y'all the story. I was with a bunch of boys one time and I was talking to another of the guys who walked with me. And I said, this is in church. Not our church. All the guys were looking at me like, what in the world is going on? Somebody had something on that was showing everything that they said that mama gave.
Yes.
That ain't God.
Yes.
Can y'all say praise the Lord?
Praise the Lord.
I know it hurts. But my job is to get you ready. My job is to get you ready. So you can't be like you were before it was an old man. So Paul says that you put off the concerning the former conversation, that's your whole conduct. The old man, which is corrupt according to the God does not want us to create lust in others. That's called the sinlessness. When you dress, when you walk, when you talk, but just so you know how to create lust. Yep. All of us wrong. We know what it means when somebody lusts after you. Right? When you walk, just walk like a godly individual. Don't shake it and break it. Well, if you're shaking it and breaking it, then it's God. You got a good enough example? Because a lot of you
in cars today, if you got a check engine light, when you go to the car dealership, guess what? You fail your inspection. You fail your inspection. You know what I mean? If you go to your car dealership, they say, oh, check engine light's on, you fail. We need to have a check guard. So when I check guard, I check myself, and if the light is on, I fail the inspection. We're talking about true holiness. We're talking about glorifying God. So we're getting rid of the old man. Verse 23 says, and renewed in God. But how do you get rid of the old man? You have to change the way you think. You can't get saved, talk, walk, act, listen to everything, and watch everything, even on TV that you used to watch. That's the old man. But now you're on this other side. You can't have the same lust, because lust will corrupt you. Can we say praise the Lord? Well, how do I get rid of the old man? You're going to put on the new man. You know who you were before you got saved. We don't have to, wow, you're so holy, you're so righteous. But some, how many of some people just put on a front? This isn't for y'all, this is for the internet. But I ain't talking about you. That's just you. We need. How many church? Get around. Guess who you represent in church? You represent God. You are an ambassador, the way you talk, the way you dress. So everything has to be a change. For instance, I'll give you a very classic example. That's killing the country. When Trump was president, he could do crazy stuff. He could say crazy stuff because he wasn't president. Now he's president. He can't do all that crazy stuff he did before he became president. Right? Because what he's doing is he's dividing the country instead of bringing it together. So he can't be the same old Trump because he's in a new position. He is the president of the United States. So he has to carry himself like a president. Because that's the highest calling in the land. When we got saved, that's the highest calling in the land. Come on. We are a child of God. So we can't walk, but we have to be renewed in the spirit of our heart, that we put on the new man, which after God has created in righteousness and true holiness. Now let's go to Titus 3:5. I told you I was going to shout, but I hope you walk out of here walking. But this is the way I've always been. That ain't a good excuse. That ain't a good excuse. Because if any man be in Christ, he's supposed to be
a new creature.
A new creature. So it's a whole lot of stuff I used to do after I got saved, but I still don't do them anymore. Because my life is to glorify God. My life is to honor God. Man, I often do this. Listen, this is you. This is you and God. They're none of us, because we don't have no heaven. And Jesus said, fear not man who's able to destroy the body, but fear him who's able to destroy the body and soul in hell. So right now, I just want you to go on one-on-one. I want God to speak to you and you to speak back to God. And if God's speaking to you right now, hallelujah, we don't know what your mindset has been. We don't know the thoughts of your heart, but guess who knows? God has. So right now, you on a brink of going from earth to eternity. You're standing before the judgment seat of Christ. Now you answer this. Is there anything? They might threaten you, they might try to put you in the corner. But I'll be like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He said, if the Lord chooses to deliver me from making a stand here, I'm going to serve the Lord. He said, if he doesn't deliver me on this side, oh Lord, thank you. He'll deliver me on him. But when you compromise, listen, when you dress and do everything to look like the world, look at somebody telling you to compromise. Because as a child of God, we are a peculiar people. We are a royal nation. And we are holy people. We are different. Every time you try to fit, you are not different. Every time you try to fit, you are compromising. Well, Titus 3:5 gives us a solution to help win the battle that's in our life. So it says here in Titus, not by works of righteousness, no matter what you've done, it doesn't change God. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and by the Holy Ghost can renew you. So a lot of people are like, man, why would my life change? Because it takes the Holy Ghost to renew you. That's why your prayer life has to be a desire and not a habit. So when you pray like you are afraid, you know, the good thing about God is every time we mess up, God mess us, don't we mess up? He would be an unrighteous God if he didn't let us know we mess up. So God reveals that we messed up. What do we do with the decision when God reveals us? God would be an unfair God if he ever judged us without letting us know the truth about ourselves. Sin, remember this, sin and disobedience hardens an individual. It's hard for them to submit to God when they won't submit to his word. Let us go to Romans the 7th chapter. I'm almost finished. I'm almost finished. The battle is in the mind. And you might as well be honest with yourself because the Bible says you already know thy faults. For all. So you can tell me one thing. God said, I know the real you. So the battle is in our mind. Well, who's winning the battle? Is it the flesh or is it the spirit? Anything that dishonors God is all flesh. Anything that honors God is all spirit. Well, Romans 7:22 reads, for I delight in the law of God after the
inward man.
I want to do it after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my body, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. He said, oh, wretched man. This is Paul. Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this sin and death? He said, I thank God through Christ Jesus our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God. But the flesh, the law of sin. The flesh constantly battles. The flesh constantly gets you. Listen, as I told you, people of Christ. Those songs say every name of Jesus is what?
Sweeter.
Every name of Jesus is sweeter. God forbid you've been saved for a long time and you're going to get it. That ain't God. Because even the Lord, when he accepts something, he said, it was a what kind of savior? A sweet smell of savior. God doesn't have ugliness in his church. God has goodness. He has gentleness in the church. Let's go to Philippians, the fourth chapter. All right, I'm not going to give you all of this, but I want you to have a spirit of digestion. So let's go to Philippians, the fourth chapter. We know what Paul writes the book of Philippians from jail. And then in the fifth verse he says, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say,
rejoice,
right? Then in the next verse he says, let your moderation be known unto all men. How many of y'all know that word moderation means?
Mm-hmm.
Amen. Moderation.
Amen.
You don't mean what you think of it. That word moderation means gentleness, kindness, sweetness. That's what it means. Gentleness, kindness, and sweetness, even if you're in power and authority. That's what the little moderation be known as all men. The Lord is at hand. That means here. It doesn't mean he's coming. That means if you just make him stand and do right, God is right by your side. Sometimes it messes up the translation. But it means gentleness, kindness, sincerity. It means truth. It means honesty. Amen. So when they brought the woman that was called in the act of adultery, the Bible said Jesus had compassion on her. Amen. Jesus is not perfect again. He was power and he was authority, but he was also gentle. Well, that's what it means. Just because we have power and authority don't have nothing. Even parents, the Bible says, parents provoke not your children. That's no charge. But we should be gentle. We should be kind. We should still be firm. Jesus was no pushover, but he showed compassion. Amen. We need to learn to show compassion. But then it says also, as we continue on in the same thing, when you do it like God says, he says, be careful. You don't have to have anxiety when you're doing the word God says. You don't want me to have anxiety because in the back of my mind, you don't want to be not being truthful and honest. When the scripture tells us to be to cast all your cares upon him because he cared. Somebody said, I can stop right there. I don't have to question God. He what? Cared for me. So it says, be careful for nothing but in. But in what? Shall keep your
hands.
So we got
you have? You have to first learn it. So a lot of times you come to church and we just hear it and don't put it into practice. We don't learn it. Those things that you have, learn and
receive.
Now you have to receive it. So when you come to church, I learn it. I hear the word, I study it. Now I receive it, like those of Maria were more noble than those of Bethlehem. And then they receive the word of God of all readiness, of mind. You got to receive it. Right? So you learn it, you receive it, then you
heard it.
Right? So then faith cometh by
hearing.
And hearing cometh the word of God, and finds a lot of places in your heart, and those things which you have seen. Then when you get it all the right, it says,
do.
You got a what?
Do.
So this is a functional application. Right? I heard it. No, just go beyond that. Then when you do it, you don't have no peace? How do you apply what you hear? What's in your mind? And the peace of God, as we all said, the peace of God shall be with you. If you don't have peace, you're losing the battle. This is the mind. We must learn to surrender to God. As we all stand, the elders and the ministers come forward, evangelists. We must learn to stand before God. We must learn to be truthful with God. The battle's in your life. I can't win it for you, and no one else can. All you can win the battle. The scripture says in Jude, the 20th verse, but ye beloved, remember we renewed through the Holy Ghost, our minds renewed through the what? Holy Ghost. But ye beloved, building yourselves up with your most holy faith. Pray in the Holy Ghost. When you pray the Holy Ghost, you revive, you renew, you restore. If you don't have a spiritual strength, you haven't been praying. If you don't have the spiritual strength to make a decision, listen, saints of God, in my closing, listen to this. Don't allow anyone else to put you in the corner to make you agree with man and disagree with God. Whatever it takes, always agree with God. If somebody said, well, I'm going to give you $5,000 if you agree to this lie. To keep running. Make your stand for God. The devil and the world is buying the church out. Peter said they're making merchandise of us. The church should be made merchandise of. The battle's in your mind. All you can decide is.